You're in the home 6010.
Hello and welcome into Fantasy Focus Football. We are presented by Geico. Insurance can be hard. That's why Geico makes it easy with 24/7 claim service and on-the-go policy info in the app. It is easy to Geico. And a reminder, get 10% off your belts at trophysmack.com using the promo code FOCUSBELT. And by the way, Mike, did you hear that that is mine to take home after the show? Yeah.
So that's the Focus Belt.
Yes.
And I got a belt the other day that I get to hold for a year for Red Zone.
Yes, for Red Zone, yes.
So we got a couple belts going around. Does Stefani get a belt for I think
the prize is a little bit better than a belt. Okay. I'll keep that one under wraps, but okay. I can promise you that Stefania is feeling good about her War Room League win.
It's a year supply of energy balls from the calf, I heard.
Worth a lot. Yeah. Those are phenomenal. I don't know what ESPN puts in those things, but they are delicious and they're never awesome. Get old. He's Mike Clay. I'm Field Yates. We're doing a recap show of the 2023 season. Thank you, everybody who's been patient with us. Thank you, everybody who's still listening to the show. You're kind of a sicko or a degenerate for fantasy football, and that means you're just like us because I already missed the season. I woke up this morning, Tuesday morning, which is usually the time in which I go back and I check my initial ranks that I put in the night before to adjust for Monday Night Football. And I was like, wait, do I need to like move Michael Penix down after last night? Oh, wait, never mind. That's a college game. Mm-hmm. There's no more rankings to be done. You must feel naked this week.
No, I do not because I'm already on. Like all Sunday already, okay. I was on to the playoffs. Yep. So I was updating everything, moving, you know, kind of projecting out what the playoffs would look like so I could do playoff rankings and look at futures for props, that kind of stuff. So that's all done and ready to go. Of course, I got to that point then where I was like, I don't have anywhere to upload the projections to right now because usually they go into the game.
Yeah.
Didn't have to do that. And then I'm on to 2024 for the 18 teams that aren't in the playoffs. I already have the depth charts already updated. The IR guy's back. The free agent's out.
Yeah.
I posted a snippet of the free agency cheat sheet today for the skill guys.
Yeah.
So that's out there on Twitter, and I'll continue to do offensive line, which I was working on earlier today, defense, that kind of stuff. So it never stops. I mean, this season ends. We're on to next season because we got to lay all this groundwork so that we can have pods and content throughout the entire offseason.
You are start a machine. Somewhere. You are a machine. You and Kevin Pelton, who does comparable work for the NBA, right? ESPN.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Are two machines. You two one day deserve a podcast together. It would be the most amount of information in one podcast together. He does. He's a big Seattle sports guy. Him and his brother do a Seattle sports podcast.
Okay. So he knows football. I don't know basketball though. So that might be
just might go
be
up there.
Funny.
Just,
I don't know. You know.
Just go up there and say Joel Embiid is the MVP. Once again, you'll be fine. You'll at least pander to the Philadelphia audience that is listening to that show.
Like Aaron McKee, Eric Snow. I'll be talking about those.
That's
guys
pretty good right there. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that is going back.
Aaron McKee, Temple, great. Eric Snow, Michigan State, great. Of course, former Sixers teammates. All right, so we're going to get into our recap later on in the show, kind of go through some positions that are, of course, of note. Before we get to that, Mike, though, it's Tuesday. We have had, by my count, a total of 5 coaching changes already. 6, actually. Let's just run through them really quick. 5 that you can see on the graphic right now. Mike Vrabel from the Titans, the most recent bit of news. Right. Perhaps the most surprising bit of news. Arthur Smith for the Falcons. Ron Rivera for the Commanders. Josh McDaniels, Brandon Staley from the Raiders and Chargers, respectively, took place during the season. And then, of course, Frank Reich as well for the Carolina Panthers. So that's 6 vacancies already. We'll see whether or not the coaching cycle is done. But nearly 20% of the league has opted for a coaching change. We've done this in the past, Mike, where we've gone through each and every coaching change and broken it down with a fine-tooth comb, said, like, here are the things it means. And then I feel like sometimes it's like, no, I don't know that you're really actually providing legitimate information there. But when you see those 6 coaching changes, is there anyone that stands out so far that might have legitimate fantasy implications? Because it feels like there is one of these things that is not like the other.
Yeah, in a lot of cases, it matters who replaces these players because, you know, we could talk about this being good for the Commanders. It's good for Commanders for their wide receivers. But what if they hire a new coach and their offensive coordinator hire is Arthur Smith? Right. Then we go, oh no, it's going to be run. You know, so we'll get to that point when they make a new hire. However, sometimes you know that if there's a team that's at the absolute extreme in a certain area and they make a coaching change, it's most likely going to be balanced or maybe even goes to the pass heavy side or the run heavy, whatever it may be. And I lay that out because Arthur Smith is certainly who you're referring to.
Of course.
Yep. That offense has been on the absolute extreme the past couple of years in terms of being extremely run heavy and spreading the wealth for the most part, which is limited the volume and the output for some, you know, three top eight draft picks in the last 3 years, and Drake London, Kyle Pitts, and of course Bijan Robinson. So I think it's safe to say the net outcome after they make a coaching change will be positive for those skill guys. Now, how positive? Who's it going to be? That's yet to be determined. But I think for those three players, this is a good thing.
It's scary, especially when it's January and there's so much that can change, to throw out a statement of absolute. But it feels like the literal worst case scenario for Kyle Pitts has taken place through the first 3 years of his career.
Yeah.
Right? Like the lowest amount of usage after that rookie season possible for Kyle Pitts has actually taken place.
Yeah.
Drake London, not that much further behind. During the season, there was a time where I wondered aloud, if you were to rank the wide receivers in the NFL, just do a draft of the wideouts, where would Drake London go? I think if you were an NFL pro scout who watches all of these guys independent of the production, is simply studying the traits, there might be one out there who's like, yeah, he's a top 15 wide receiver.
Yeah, I was going to say 15, maybe right. 12.
Meanwhile, meanwhile, if you were to do it just based off of the production over the past 2 years, would he go like 35th?
Yeah.
I mean, like, yeah. Like Jacoby Myers, who's a really good player, by the way, would go ahead of Drake London. I think Drake London is a better player than, as an example, Jacoby Myers, right? Yeah. Like that's just one of many examples.
Yeah, where of course. The Terry stats McLaren's another one. You could have that conversation all day. Yeah.
So I do think that regardless of who they hire, it's going to be an upgrade. Mm-hmm. Also, because oftentimes when you make a coaching change, it coincides with a quarterback change. The quarterback play has been completely substandard for them for three seasons now. Just how consistent have the Falcons been in all the wrong ways? Under Arthur Smith, after their first season, 7-10 with the 8th overall pick in the then 22 NFL draft. After their second season, 7-10, the 8th overall pick in the 2023 NFL draft. This year, third season, 7-10, 8th overall pick in the 2024 NFL draft. I mean, that's the problem, is that, like, what's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results.
Yeah.
Arthur Blank, the owner of the Falcons, evidently reached the conclusion that it would be unwise to run it back with Arthur Smith, who is now a free agent. And we hate these firings for the people. It sucks. There are families that are impacted. Financially, these head coaches are going to be fine. Mm-hmm. I get it. Money can help cure things like, you know, like it eases the burden of doing things like moving and selling your home is not nearly as stressful when you've got so much money to your name. There are a lot of people that are going to be impacted by these coaching changes that don't make that kind of money, that are, you know, much more like, you know, the average American, so to speak, right? So my heart does hurt for these people that have been impacted by the changes of the past 24 to 48 hours. From a fantasy football perspective, though, not to be sort of crass, we do think that there is one coaching change that could positively influence the output of three budding stars and Bijan Robinson and Drake London and Kyle Pitts. And that is probably whoever Atlanta hires to be their new head coach.
Yeah, I agree. And keep this, keep this in mind. Drake London and Kyle Pitts, target share wise.
Yeah.
Terrific.
Yeah.
I mean, it has been there for them. And even Bijan Robinson was sixth running back in snaps played this season, believe it or not.
There was some good stuff.
So he was out there. It was just, they would just run the ball or they would utilize other players. And that limited the overall volume for those guys. So Kyle Pitts, if he sees a 22% target share with a more balanced offense, it could be 7 targets a game. And if he does that, he's the top 5 fantasy tight end. And the same kind of thing goes for Drake London, whose target share has been massive since he came into the league. And of course, the Bijan Robinson, again, is top 10 in, you know, snaps and touches.
Sure.
He's going to be great. He's going to be great. So again, quarterback play has been a problem as well. I expect them to address that. Might be tough. Be a free agency. If you saw that cheat sheet, there's not many good options, but there's the trade market. And of course there is the draft, which I don't know if they're going to be able to go that direction, but they'll find an upgrade. Even if it's Gardner Minshew, it's gotta be better.
Not that this is exactly the same thing, but when the Raiders made a head coaching change, it also included the play caller change. And while the results were still uneven for Devontae Adams the rest of the season, look at how different his involvement was. Like his target share skyrocketed to the top of the league. Mm-hmm. Kind of incredible that for Devontae, during what I think many would describe as a quote-unquote down year, like 105 catches, 1,200 yards, and like 8 touchdowns.
Yeah,
he's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's just where the bar is. It's like Travis Kelce, same kind of thing. Yeah. Another great season, and it was still considered a disappointment. And that's another thing, by the way, Arthur Smith as a play caller, seems to have get pretty good reviews out there, has a pretty good reputation. He could land somewhere as a play caller somewhere. So we have to keep in mind that could still happen. And hey, that might be the other end of this.
Might be motivated to bring Arthur Smith wherever he goes if Smith would be amenable to being an offensive coordinator as soon as next year.
That's right.
All right, time now for us to do some recap. And we begin with the running back spot, Mike, because, of course, oftentimes the most notable position in all of fantasy football is running back. Right. And this year, we had a king. It was, of course, Christian McCaffrey, who
again,
I think by our both our eyes was the most valuable player in all of fantasy football. Mm-hmm. He ended up being the correct player to take number one overall in your drafts if you had that number one pick. Not everybody went that way. But if you take a look at just how last year fared compared to this year, like, it's amazing how many guys ended up at the top of the running back heap that were not anywhere close to it a season ago, right? Josh Jacobs, top scoring running back last year. Mm-mm. Top rushing yardage leader last year. Not close. Jamal Williams led the NFL with 17 rushing touchdowns last year. Who do you think had the most receiving yards amongst backs last year?
The most receiving yards among backs? Wasn't Eckler?
Austin Eckler and Jerick McKinnon, who had 8 receiving touchdowns. Yeah. Christian McCaffrey ends up leading in that regard, just 5 this year. As we look ahead going into 2024, that's part of what this recap is taking the information that we saw from this past season and trying to maybe make sense of it going forward. Does Christian McCaffrey feel to you like the only running back in all the NFL right now that, regardless of what happens this coming offseason, is on a gamble?
I think he is. Remember the last time he dominated the NFL in touches? What happened? He missed the better part of the next 2 seasons. And you might say, well, that's fluky. He's 28 years old. Josh Jacobs led the NFL in touches last year. He missed a chunk of this season. We saw that coming. Yeah. That was something we talked about in the offseason. And that is a trend. We saw it with Saquon Barkley. You can go on and on. They play Le'Veon Bell. Like, the list goes on and on. These guys that get this massive volume. DeMarco Murray. Like, just names are popping into my head.
Yeah.
It's so hard to go. Used to be 32 straight games. Now 34 straight games. Healthy, upright, productive, efficient. All those things. And he's 28. It's going to be tough. Now, that being said, he's still in the 49ers offense. There's no reason to think he slowed down this year. I think their offensive line could actually be better next year. I had real concerns about it when aside of Trent Williams. And when he was out, by the way, they lost 3 consecutive games. Yeah. Keep that in mind. So
they actually have a first round pick for the first time in a while this year to use.
So I did my initial ranks. He's still my RB1. He's still arguably the safest first overall pick if you don't want to go wide receiver. But I don't feel super pumped up about it. Like, you're seeing it. Like, you almost always, when it comes to NFL stats, I use this with prop bets on a weekly basis. I use it on a season-long basis. 80-90% of the time it works out. Fade extremes. When somebody has a season like this where they outscore everyone else by 100 and everybody's, like, they're at their trade value's at the max, you go the other direction, it's almost always going to work out. I mean, season-long player props, look at the results. They're almost all unders. And the only overs are the ones, guys that stayed healthy for 16-plus games. So you fade those extremes, and he's at the extreme. So I think in Dynasty, it's an opportunity to explore the trade market. And if I'm in season-long next year, I don't necessarily want the first overall pick.
I've learned that. Like, I've changed my mindset on wanting the first overall pick for one reason and one reason only. If you screw it up, it hurts worse. And if you screw up the 7th overall pick, that's just how things feel.
Yeah.
I feel better about Christian McCaffrey than you do. And maybe I'm the sucker who's living in the moment too much.
I mean,
you first.
I was just going to say, I mean, think about this time last year talking about someone like Austin Eckler.
Of course.
It was the same thing. We were like, no, first overall pick, he's fine. Yeah. Him or McCaffrey, they're both fine. Or Jefferson, do what you want in that spot. They're all fine. Eckler didn't slow down at all this year. Still scoring touchdowns. He's still in a good offense. Like, everything was great.
Yeah.
They had some offseason stuff at the contract.
Was there anybody that could have been the best player in fantasy this year that you'd be like, yeah, that's evergreen and it works going into next year?
That's the battle. And that's why I still have him ranked number one, right? Okay. So it's more about not betting on what he did last year and maybe fading it and going the other direction, you know, trying to maybe not picking first, maybe trading him at his ceiling in Dynasty. That's kind of the thought process. But you're right. I mean, you still, even if his odds of repeating are low, he still might be the best option to score number one. So
sure,
it's kind of walking that line of being realistic, understanding the risk, but also appreciating his situation and his talent level.
Yeah, I'll feel better about it. To be honest with you, the weird part about what I'm most concerned with for Christian McCaffrey is that his receiving was down this year relative to prior seasons.
Most catches he's had in a season, believe it or not.
Yeah, so I actually would like Christian McCaffrey to dominate as a receiver first and as a runner second for a couple of reasons.
Yeah.
One, PPR scoring, lots of fantasy points available even on cheapo targets. Two, if you receive the ball, you're generally out in more space with fewer tacklers around you. When you run the football, it's just a lot more wear and tear, right? For a position that, of course, has a lot of attrition to it. But I feel really good about CMC as number one overall going into next year. Mike and I will have to battle that one out during the offseason.
I think he went, you know, out of the gate, kind of like Cooper Kupp off of his big year.
Yeah.
Like the first month or so, you're going to feel great. But if the injuries start coming or he starts taking the hits and he misses some, don't be surprised if he misses a month like that.
Don't say that.
That is the history of this position.
You lock it up.
And just look how many players make it two full seasons. It does not happen. So that's all I'm saying. You just have to be careful about that. I hope you're right, though. And by the way, we talked a lot in the offseason. We'll do this again this offseason. We'll have a show or a segment we'll do on this. Age 28 or older running backs, that tends to be the wall where the drop-off starts. And for the most part, those guys all underachieved this year.
Well,
so
are you perhaps suggesting that Austin Eckler turned 28 recently?
He's entering next year 29, right? That'll be his age 29 season, I believe. Okay. Next
How about
year,
that? Because I'm not mistaken. Austin Eckler is the next topic here, Mike. What went wrong there in your eyes? Because I probably have a different explanation than you do.
Well, I think the offense, the run blocking was horrific. I mean, we saw that when he was out, and Josh Kelly was underperforming as well. Not that we have a super high bar for him, but it was really horrible, and that carried over to Eckler. At a point there, he didn't look healthy. He looked like he had lost a step. But I thought he kind of looked a little better down the stretch to some extent. Of course, Justin Herbert was out then, and they were turning some of the backfield over to Isaiah Spiller when the season was all but lost. So that's a tough one, but I think it could be a matter of he's had a ton of volume the last couple of years, and it's starting to catch up at his age 28, age 29 seasons. That it could be that simple. That happens at this position over and over and over again.
I do. And I am not saying that teams always get it right when it comes to either contract extensions or being reticent to hand out a contract extension at the top of the market. But remember this past offseason when he requested a trade and got zero bites whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And then the Chargers were able to lure him back to Los Angeles by offering up the opportunity to make an additional $1.75 million, which is an astronomical amount of money for most people. You and I would do anything for the chance to make $1.75 million this upcoming year. In football parlance, Mike, that's not that much money.
No.
And I don't believe he reached any of the incentives, by the way, so he ended up making zero extra dollars. But maybe the Chargers, old regime at least, felt like, you know, that bar, that line that you're referring to, was coming closer than the general public wanted to realize. So I think that Eckler, who's a free agent now, is going to have a soft market this offseason.
Yeah, and sometimes it's a combination of age and wear and tear. And again, his volume had been massive. Yep. Remember, he was kind of limited throughout the first chunk of his career. He wasn't getting all that volume. That had changed the past couple of seasons where he was easily clearing 200 carries. And again, I'm nervous we could see that with McCaffrey. That's a real concern for me. And it makes me nervous. It makes me, like, if someone said, I'm going back to Jefferson, first overall pick this year, great.
Yeah, Tyreek Hill. He finished strong, huh? Yeah.
We'll get to him a little bit later. But, yeah, Jefferson I expect to be fine. Tyreek, CeeDee Lamb. You want to go wide receiver?
Yeah.
Don't get hurt. That's a perfectly viable strategy.
All right, let's talk more extremes. Raheem Mostert was the most extreme running back in terms of reaching the outlier season that no one saw coming. The man ended up with 21 total touchdowns, 18 on the ground, the most in the NFL. What do you make of this season? Is there any sustainability to it whatsoever for 2020?
No, this is always one of those easy ones. You know, he's coming back to earth next year. He's also, 32 years old, really defied the odds. And good for him. You know, this is a guy that has had dealt with so many injuries throughout his career, so it was nice to see it kind of come together for him this season. But Devon Achane is the future. We've seen that. And he'll have a teammate in the backfield. It's not just going to be Achane getting 25 touches a game for a full season. And maybe that's Mostert, but he's not going to perform at this level. And, you know, last year it was like, well, Jamal Williams, you know, look what he did. He'll probably score 10 more touchdowns in New Orleans. He'll play that role, and Kamara will be change of pace, get carried. And he scored one touchdown and a trick play.
Well, he scored?
What?
Jamal Williams scored a touchdown? When?
Are you joking? I can't tell if this is a joke or not. Here, okay.
Yeah, no, week 18, of course, for those that may have missed
count?
It. Yeah. It does count. It does very much count. Ask James
Winston. Right. Yeah, yes. You were the one I quote tweeted. Yeah. So I had just, I'd red zone on, and I just thought he the game was over, and they just ran a between the tackles run and got him in the end zone, whatever. It was cool. I didn't realize they did a fake kneel up by like 30 points. That was kind
of. I have a lot of thoughts on that. I'll just leave it here. I can't recall a situation where like the coach was so incredibly remorseful for it. And literally every player, whether speaking in the locker room or on Twitter, mm-hmm. has been like, Jameis is my dog. We totally love that play. Like, yeah. I love Jameis. He's the greatest. I would do that every time. So is there a player? So I like these questions and I don't, because if there was an obvious answer, the player wouldn't be like under the radar. Is there anybody that you're saying to yourself, like, you know what? In like the exact perfect circumstance, like this player could have 18 rushing touchdowns next season.
Oh, I don't. Javonte Williams.
Okay. Any reason behind that or no?
Just he's good size. I think he's a really good player. He this year had to deal with the nasty. It wasn't just an ACL. Like he had a really nasty knee injury. He didn't have quite the explosion this year, but another full offseason comes back next year. We'll see what they do with the quarterback position. That'll be part of it. But I don't think they're Sean Payton. I mean, he's had a good history with Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara and so forth and so on. So, I mean, that's just a name off the top of my head. I mean, you can go to like Tyjae Spears, like as a breakout in Tennessee, but like
Kyren Williams, the other Williams who,
but again, we're talking about guys who should be lead backs for the most part. Projecting a guy that's like a second stringer that could come out of nowhere, a late round pick to score 18 touchdowns. That's a little harder. So
not Rashad Penny, like I thought maybe this time.
Yeah, maybe we'll talk about that in the offseason.
He might actually get a touch.
I'm sure in the offseason I could come up with a short list of names that could be, but I don't know that. I mean, maybe Mostert would have been on that list this year, you know? I mean,
maybe it was not
18, but a guy that could surprise and score 12 or something.
So. All right, last one here on the running backs, and then I want to move forward to the rookies. Just quickly, Mike, here. Rashad White is a really complicated player to rank for 2024.
He is.
There is zero chance the Buccaneers depth chart at running back beyond Rashad White is as bad as it was this year. Mm-hmm. That's as lean of a running back room as I have seen in a long time.
Yo, he's going to be in your DMs. You better watch it.
Well, that's okay. That's okay. I've shut down on my DMs. I don't use social media anymore. Just follow me at Field Yates on Twitter.
By the way, I stand by that. I had them ranked as the worst running back room coming into the season.
I don't think it was a bad take.
But I liked White as a fantasy breakout for that reason, because they had no good depth and... Because he was going to get a lot of volume. And that worked out almost exactly like that. His efficiency was really poor.
That's right. And that's what makes you nervous about him going into next year. It's just like they could, I mean, you draft, it's one third round running back drafted away from him moving from like whatever he was this year, RB5, RB4, to like RB18.
Yeah.
It's a completely like reasonable thing to expect. Uh-oh. Someone, is that important?
He's getting off the bus.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I have to go get him. I'll be right back.
so any additional thoughts on Rashad White going in the next year?
No, I'm with you. And you have to be careful with stuff like that. It's kind of the Michael Carter thing, you know?
Yep.
He wasn't quite as accomplished as White is, but I worry about that with Tyjae Spears too.
Sure.
Get to that, but they could still draft someone or sign someone.
Yep.
Just something to keep in mind.
Take a look at the running back scoring leaders for the season. Mike mentioned over 100 points difference between Christian McCaffrey and Breece Hall. 100.8 points difference between McCaffrey and Breece Hall.
Yeah, don't gloss over that too. Hall, what a finish to the season to jump up to second.
Travis Etienne third, Rashad White fourth, Raheem Mostert fifth. And a pair of rookies actually cracked the top 10, which brings us right to the rookies. You see those two rookies in the bottom 10 there, Bijan Robinson and also Jahmyr Gibbs, just 4.2 points apart. Joe Mixon, Kyren Williams, Derrick Henry also inside our top 10.
Mixon's going to be an interesting one next year, too. Where does he go? There was rumors in last offseason they'd move on from him.
Well, they restructured his contract to keep him around.
Is he going to be back? Derrick Henry's a free agent. We'll see where he lands. Does he follow Mike Vrabel and maybe Arthur
maybe,
Smith?
Who maybe, knows? Yeah. All right, let's move forward.
Back together somewhere.
Yeah, that would be the band could back together. Let's talk running backs, rookies, Mike. And I got to tell you what, there are a lot of interesting rookies this past year.
Yeah, what are
names we weren't totally expecting? Let's take a look at the top rookie scoring leaders, and we're going to call this the flex leaders because running backs, wide receivers, tight ends are all in the top five. Puka Nacua, unsurprisingly, number one. Well, unsurprisingly now, definitely very surprisingly at the beginning of the season. Bijan, number two. Jahmyr Gibbs, number three. Sam Laporta, Jahmyr's teammate, less than 3 points behind him at fourth. And then Jordan Addison, my guy, fifth amongst all rookies, 221.3. Ahead of Jaden Reed, Rashee Rice, Zay Flowers, Devon Achane, and Tank Dell. Dell and Achane did so in a very abbreviated season as both of those guys dealt with injuries. Dell obviously out for the year. Achane missed a good chunk of time and was a non-factor to the first 2 weeks of the season. Mm-hmm. There's no two ways about it though, Mike. Despite all those impressive names, Puka Nacua was the fantasy newcomer of the year. And I have a lesson learned here. My lesson learned was not paying enough attention to teams that I thought were going to be not paying enough attention to teams that have two very fundamental things, an excellent coach and an excellent quarterback. Mm-hmm. That like just those two things alone could bring somebody into more relevance. I just thought like, oh, ho-hum Rams, it'll be Cooper Kupp, it'll be, you know, maybe Cam Akers, and that's it. That's all that will matter. And I should have paid more attention to Puka Nacua.
Yeah, and opportunity there as well.
Yep.
You know, behind Cooper Kupp, he certainly had a path to a lot of work. And that's what, these are the guys you want to take flyers on. You don't need to reach on breakout hype guys in the fifth, sixth, seventh round. You do that later in the draft. Yeah. And he was a guy that fit that bill. And if you took a shot or grabbed him off waivers right before the season started, then that paid off in big dividends. But he's also one of them guys where, you know, what if him and Drake London traded spots this past season? What would that look like? So there's some curiosity there. And that's something I've debated working on dynasty rankings and 2024 rankings. How good is Puka Nacua? Is this really good player that was in a great situation with a great quarterback? Or is it a okay player, decent player that's going to have a, you know, be, might say, wide receiver 30 his whole career? Is he going to be wide receiver 5 or 30 for the next 5 years in fantasy? That's kind of the question. And sometimes circumstances could boost guys up or push them the other direction. So that's been the struggle, but he looks like the real deal to me.
He does.
I mean, he really does. He looks great.
If Sean McVay is there, I think they have a chance. Right? Because obviously Matthew Stafford at some point is going to move on. But I don't think that Sean McVay would ever move on from Matthew Stafford without having a succession plan waiting in the wings to take over for Matthew Stafford.
So not Stetson Bennett.
It is not. Saying. Well, probably Carson not. Wentz. Probably not. Maybe. He did have a nice rushing touchdown this past weekend, did Carson Wentz.
He had like 12 carries or something.
He's awesome. It was fun. Sort of. My lesson, and I'm, for those that aren't following already, like First Draft Podcast, we're back in the fold now. And if you'd be so kind to watch, download, listen, subscribe, all that stuff. Great. My big lesson that I think teams need to be more mindful of, and I think that the draft sort of industry needs to be more mindful of, is that, and I mentioned this on Twitter yesterday, is like we are so fixated right now on like, is Drake May better than Jaden Daniels? Is Drake May better than Caleb Williams? Any combination of those three things. Or who's better, Rome Odunze or Malik Nabers or you name it, right? So much of the focus is understandably on those kind of conversations. Where the Rams have thrived is finding players that do certain things well that they need in their offense and leaning on those players to do those things well. Not asking Puka Nacua to be some consistent vertical threat when he had poor testing metrics coming out of BYU, right? Not relying on Kyren Williams to do things that were not strengths of his when he ran a 4.7 or whatever it was coming out of Notre Dame, right? Like, what do those guys do well? Completely hammering those things, and you often get pretty darn good results. So just a lesson I think that is important for NFL teams and certainly NFL draft analysts. When the draft is done, hammering, well, I had this guy as a second round pick. There's no way you should have taken him 25th overall or had him in the fifth round, took him in the third. Like, what are you doing here? Like, maybe it makes more sense for a specific team than it does on the average.
I hear you. I would just add to that, the player also, to work out to the extent it did with Nacua, it has to be a hit. The guy has to be good. If Nacua wasn't good, it wouldn't matter if he did the little things right that Sean McVay likes. Might help him a little bit, but it's not going to do what he did this season. So
you're right. He is good, but if he is, there are certain things he does really well that aren't as imperative in other roles.
Sure.
Where players that went much higher than him deservedly got drafted. Like that's just, I am applauding the Rams more than I am trying to take away anything that Nacua did or others have done in their evaluation.
Fair enough.
Let's talk about these receivers though for a second here, Mike. And I mentioned a bunch of them that finished in the top 10. Puka Nacua, Jaden Reed, Jordan Addison, Rashee Rice, Zay Flowers, Tank Dell. Is there an obvious one of these guys is way ahead of the rest going into next year? And is it Puka Nacua?
I think it's Nacua. I have Addison and Flowers pretty close. I think their circumstances are fairly similar.
Okay.
I mean, Addison, assuming Kirk Cousins is back anyway.
Yep.
Obviously.
We'll see. Yeah.
Flowers will have Lamar Jackson. We know that. Yep. They jump out. I'm buying into Jaden Reed the second half of the season. I think a lot of them are very close and going to be drafted as essentially wide receiver threes. Maybe on that wide receiver two radar. Reed looked awesome down the stretch. I don't think he's going away. Rashee Rice, I'm kind of curious with him. Actually, Rashee Rice and Tank Dell, you could kind of put together in this department. Dell's going to have Nico Collins there, who looks like the real deal as well. So yep. He could take away some of the volume there. And Rice, do they add a one? Do they go out and do they bring somebody in? Do they shock us and sign T? Well, it shouldn't be a shocker, but T. Higgins, like, does he go there?
It's going to be tough. Their cap concerns are real in Kansas City right now, and they've got a Chris Jones size thing to address first, as he, of course, is scheduled to become a free agent.
But nonetheless, their goal is going to be to add another target that could knock his targets down from where they've been this season. So all in all,
yep.
Feeling optimistic about this group on this list. There's a lot of good names here, and there's others, too, that are going to join the fun.
There sure is. Bijan Robinson's 2023 season was blank. Mike, you fill in the blank.
I think it was good, but not as great as we hoped at his ADP, where we draft him. We hope to be a little better. Fifth in snaps, sixth in yards, second in targets. That all sounds good. If we knew that in the offseason, we'd feel great about it. But only 12th in touches, 9th in fantasy points. So could have been better. I think the next regime, we'll use him better. We'll find better ways to maximize him. We've saw that at times this season. It was just inconsistent. That was the problem.
I use frustrating was my fill in the blank mm-hmm. word. I think that was probably like the harsher way of saying what you just said. Mm-hmm. And I think back to all the goal to go situations, Mike. At the end of the day, when you draft a guy 8th overall, if you have the ball within the 8-yard line and you've got 4 plays to get mm-hmm. there, he should be on the field for almost every single one of those plays.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you not? Like, what I don't understand is it's not that Cordarrelle Patterson and Tyler Allgeier are bad players, but Kyren Williams is playing 98% of the snaps for the Rams in some of these games. Mm-hmm. I'm not asking for exactly that, but I don't think it's unreasonable to expect like 80% of the snaps in some games and all the most important snaps.
Yeah.
He's the biggest mismatch problem they have by far out of their backfield, and he's ceding carries at the goal line to other players. Not his call, obviously, but frustrating for those reasons because it felt like he had a chance to be a top 1 or 2 running back in fantasy football. Mm-hmm. Instead, he was a top 10 back, but just barely, and that felt like a disappointment relative to some of the preseason.
Yeah, I mean, if you take a guy in the top 10 at running back, you expect him to be a guy that contributes like Christian McCaffrey, like Saquon Barkley, like Trent Richardson was his rookie year. You know, why else are you spending that capital on a player if you're not giving them all that work? So yeah. I'm with you. I think the next regime will find a way to utilize him a little better.
All right, I'll be quick here on the quarterback recap amongst rookies. There were 3 that mattered. Of course, 3 taken in the first round. CJ Stroud was the highest scoring rookie quarterback at 18.3 fantasy points. Mike Anthony Richardson, mm-hmm. 18.2, just 4 games played for Richardson. And then Bryce Young at 9.8 fantasy points per game. 16 games played for Young. Remember, he missed that game all the way back in week 2. I have hope for better days ahead for Bryce Young. He did have a nice close to the season in week 16, did play well. All right, we're going to come back and talk about the rest of the quarterbacks, the veteran style, Mike. But first, before we do that, a word from our friends over at Dr. Pepper. Mmm, you smell that? That's the scent of fresh turf and freshly cracked.
You got this. You can do it. Start over.
That's the scent of fresh turf and freshly cracked Dr. Pepper,
boom.
Which can only mean one thing. The college football season is sadly over. It's time to reflect on your Saturdays and swipe a sweet Dr. Pepper from the mini fridge because this fall there will be a new season of high kicks, long throws, and Fansville commercials. Commercial breaks to carry you all the way to the West Coast games. That's right. The fans will be back. We're talking more hot takes, more heartbreak, more layers of face paint. Get ready to drink in all the drama one final time. That was last night. We'll do it again this fall with the help of the most delicious college football tradition there is, Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve.
DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL playoffs, is bringing you an offer that'll help make the playoffs electrifying. New customers can bet $5 on any game and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code FFF. New customers can bet just $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code FFF. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net, 877-8-HOPE-NY, or text HOPE-NY, that's 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/football for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
That was well done right there. Nice, solid, crisp read. A lot better than my freshly cracked Dr. Pepper.
That's right. You were taking a sip of Dr. Pepper. You just couldn't help yourself once you heard Dr. Pepper. It was hard to do. Yeah.
All right, quick quarterback recap here, Mike. Dak Prescott ends up as quarterback 3 this season.
How about that?
Just outstanding. Is there a lesson learned, do you think, from how we ranked Dak coming into the preseason?
I mean, you were feeling good about ranking him low through week, 6?
Yeah, he was terrible.
He was terrible last year, and he was terrible in fantasy to open this season. In fact, about 4 or 5 weeks into the season, it was like, well, Dallas messed up. McCarthy's not cutting it. Kellen Moore in this Chargers offense is scoring at will. Everything's looking great, and then that shifted in a hurry. Look, Prescott really struggled. He threw a lot. He led the NFL in interceptions last year, and he missed like, 4 or 5 games?
Yeah.
I think it wasn't running as much. There were a lot of reasons to be concerned. I guess the lesson is at cost, bet on talent, maybe is the lesson. Like, he's really good. He has CeeDee Lamb, that kind of thing. Mike McCarthy likes to throw the ball.
I'll give you the lesson. The lesson is when somebody tries to tell you that Dak Prescott's not good, tell that person to politely shut the heck up. That's my lesson.
Yeah.
I get it. Now, I'm sure there are going to be naysayers out there, and that's fine. Say, do it in the playoffs. That's fine. You do have to do it in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I get it. I think the Cowboys, by the way, can do it in the playoffs this year. Wouldn't surprise me if they're playing in the NFC Championship game. But the idea that Dak Prescott hasn't been an awesome regular season quarterback for several seasons is just ridiculous. And in order to make the playoffs, you got to get there first. Dak became the first Dallas Cowboys quarterback ever to lead the NFL outright in touchdown passes. 36 of them this season. He was money in the bank. If I gave you two quarterbacks and I asked you, which one do you have more optimism for going into 2024? Who would it be, Brock Purdy or Jordan Love? Is it close?
I mean, 2 weeks ago, I would have felt pretty comfortable with Purdy.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure. I mean, the way Love finished, he looks like the real deal. Just talk about progressive improvement from week 1 to week 18. Did anybody improve more from week 1 to week 18 in the NFL?
No. I mean, as a team, no. As a player, no.
I don't think so. I mean, he was awesome. 32 passing touchdowns, and that was with such a young supporting cast that's only going to get better. So I think it's a toss-up. My initial rankings, which I put out before week 18, at Purdy at 11, Jordan Love at 13. I think you might get a little more from Love with his legs, so maybe that breaks the tie, but this is very much a close call.
I will tell you this. As fans, I understand why Packers fans have been frustrated by some of the coverage of Jordan Love this season, because there were a lot of people that were skeptical or dubious of Jordan Love early in the year. Me included. I had some very uneven moments.
Some guys get better. It's okay.
And like, that they do. That's right.
And now if you were sitting here, by the way, sorry to interrupt you. If you were sitting here saying what you were saying after week 5, and like, no, he's just not good.
It's a fluke,
then that would be a problem. We sometimes players get better at football. Like, that's part of the process.
Well, that's what I want. So our job, our responsibility is to try to carefully study what we are seeing in front of us and present entertaining and hopefully accurate takes as much as possible. As much as possible being the operative words there, right? Because we can't nail them all.
Nope.
I want somebody, though, that could admit an error and say, you know what? I was wrong. And when Jordan Love was not playing well at the beginning of the season, I was worried that there were traits that just weren't going to be there, that weren't going to develop into a startable quarterback for a long period of time. I was wrong. And Packers fans, if you're frustrated by that or anybody else, because I don't think we were super harsh here on this show, but I understand the frustration for Packers fans. I always come back to this. If I don't pick your team to win the division and they do, or if I have concerns about your quarterback and those turn out to be unfounded, I always think, like, if the roles were reversed, I'd be so happy that my team won the division that I wouldn't care about the naysayers who were wrong. I mean, maybe it's like a little bit of extra added motivation, but I'm thrilled for the Packers because their patience has paid off. This team is not just good now, Mike. They're playing in the playoffs. They had a chance to be good for a long time. The youngest roster in the NFL which, by the way, has an extra second round pick this, to work with this upcoming offseason.
By the way, same thing with the Rams. That's another thing. I thought, yeah, great quarterback and coach, but I don't think they could overcome the massive amount of losses and the young players and the undrafted players. I was wrong about that. But same thing, when the Rams clinched a playoff spot, I was getting messages from people like Rams fans who were, you know, remembering that I had them ranked so low. Like, is that, why are you celebrating that way, man? Enjoy it.
I know you should.
You know, it used to make me really mad. That, I don't know if they still do this. The New Jersey Devils. I used to watch the Flyers way more than I do now. When they score, they do, I think it's like, no, no, no. Hey, you suck. That's like, that's their thing. After every call, I'm like, why are you celebrating by saying the other team sucks? That's not fun at all. Like, I have a good time. Enjoy it. But I don't know. Some people, that's the way they,
I totally get it. I don't know. So I'm happy for the Packers. I'm happy. Jordan Love, like, just a great guy, great kid, like, great leader. Yeah. Like, he deserves this. And I thought the way that he had handled himself during all of the drama during the Aaron Rodgers and Packers divorce was very commendable. Kept his head down, said all the right things, and seemed to own the opportunity ahead to really paid off. 32 passing touchdowns. That's pretty darn good.
They're going to be a fun team to draft next year with Reed and hopefully a healthy Watson. The trick is going to be which tight end. I think that's going to be a debate we're going to have.
Who the running back is too, right?
With
Aaron Jones.
Definitely. Dylan, free agent. And I think Jones is under contract, right? But they could, you know, he's going age 29 season. So
I think Aaron Jones redid his deal, and this was this last year? I might have, either that, it was restructured. Maybe it's like they just have a balloon payment due this year that makes it unlikely he would be back under at least under the current terms.
Gotcha.
The quarterback scoring leaders for this year, no surprise, Josh Allen at the top once again, and by a lot. 37 more points than the next highest scoring quarterback, that being Jalen Hurts, Dak Prescott, Lamar Jackson. Jordan Love rounds out the top five. Nowhere to be seen there is, of course, Patrick Mahomes, a disappointing season. I will have, this just in, Josh Allen as my highest ranked quarterback going into next year.
Yeah, he's locked in. Dynasty as well. I think it's safe to that he jumps Patrick Mahomes now. Mahomes could bounce back, but he's also a couple years older and underwhelmed this year. Yeah. You know, so
Josh Allen's going to run for 10 touchdowns every season.
Yeah,
he will. He's a freaking beast.
Yeah, I think it's Allen or Hurts, and I just feel a little more comfortable with Allen.
And by the way, I don't know if this will happen or not, but if the tush push is banned, Mike, it actually has legitimate fantasy implications.
Question.
Not that Jalen Hurts can't do a 1 yard quarterback sneak without the assistance of the tush push, but it's been the most reliable play in all of football for the past couple of seasons. If that becomes a 25% less efficient play, might be good things for the running backs.
Yeah.
A little bit of a discount.
You can lose five rushing touchdowns. Yeah. It's 60.5 points right there. Yep. So,
All right, let's talk about the wide receivers here, Mike, to wrap things up. And what a finish it was for CeeDee Lamb. 30, I would have told you going, points. I mean, just ridiculous, whatever. No one cares about math. CeeDee Lamb steals the show to end the season, Mike. Uh-huh. I would have thought that the possibility of anybody catching Tyreek Hill was impossible. And yet, CeeDee Lamb, granted in one extra game, ends up outscoring Tyreek Hill by 27 fantasy points, which means that CeeDee Lamb averaged more fantasy points than Tyreek Hill per game this season. What a remarkable finish for CeeDee Lamb. 135 catches. How about this for targets? 181, Mike. That's a ridiculous number. Nearly 11 per game for CeeDee. He is just terrific.
Yeah, and he was... It was kind of like with Amari Cooper when he was there. It was like, why is he not getting the ball enough? Yeah. Like, it's just, he's so inconsistent. The target share is underwhelming. And then it, like, again, what do we say? Week 5 or 6 when it clicked, CeeDee Lamb went in, said, hey, I'm not going to cause a problem, but I want the ball more. They got him the ball more, and look what happened. It was obviously a great recipe for that offense, and maybe that's a lesson with Dak as well. If a quarterback has a CeeDee Lamb or a Justin Jefferson type or a Tyreek Hill type, that could take them to the promised land. So no doubt about it, he finally submitted, and it wasn't his fault, but he finally officially joined that club of the elite at wide receiver.
The Cowboys draft so damn well. I mean, think about all the great players they have on their roster.
Yeah.
CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons, both still looking for extensions. Imagine the numbers for those two players. Parsons is extension eligible as of yesterday.
Well, I will say this. Parsons, as far as Cowboys players go, the biggest Eagles fan that has ever existed. That guy loves the Eagles.
He loves
Philadelphia sports. So, I mean, just let him go. Maybe we could get him to Philly.
Who would you trade
resign
him?
I'm saying
trade him for Reed Blankenship. Would you take that trade?
I would take that trade.
Okay, gotcha.
I'm comfortable saying I would agree to those terms.
There you go. So, if it ends up happening, just credit Fantasy Focus.
It'll be Reed Blankenship and 17 first round picks.
Justin Jefferson. I know he is in some corners considered the forgotten man, Mike, but somehow finished with over 1,000 receiving yards this season. I thought reminded us just how brilliant he was down the stretch, even without Kirk Cousins.
Yeah. Again, if you want to take him first overall again this year, go for it. He had, check this out, Tyreek Hill averaged 23.5 fantasy points per game. Justin Jefferson had 24+ in every game he played in full with Kirk Cousins this season. Also had two of those without Cousins in the lineup late in the season. The guy is still nothing short of elite. Just seeing him dominate out there with like Nick Mullins on the field just shows you his caliber. Still in his prime, he's going to get his contract extension. There's no doubt about it. Jefferson, Hill, CeeDee Lamb, the core three, I would say a wide receiver. You take whoever you want. You're going to be happy with the result of any of those three guys next year. I think Tyreek could be third in line in, you know, next year. You want to, actually, my rankings are Lamb, Jefferson, Tyreek at the moment. That could change depending on quarterback situations, personnel changes, that kind of stuff. But he's great. He's great.
Here's what I'm going to do. When I have my wide receiver rankings assignment handed over to me at some point this offseason, yeah, I'm going to put five will go into it. Just a bucket.
Really?
And I'm going to go like, I'm just going to close my eyes.
Really? Five? The top five receivers?
Yeah. I'm going to put in my name in bucket.
Okay.
Five.
You say five. I say three.
Okay.
You say five.
Three or five. Okay. The point is that like there are so many good players. Yes, the three seem like we'll put the top three. You are correct. It's Justin Jefferson. It's CeeDee Lamb. It's Tyreek.
That's what I'm saying. I was just surprised you added two to that list. So I want to know who they were.
It's not like, you know, Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jamar Chase or some
stuff. No,
slouches,
they're right there.
Right?
Yeah, like, that's totally fair. That's, I was just wondering.
Those guys are unbelievable. Yeah. But those three, yes, are the top three. I'm going to go like, I'm going to close my eyes. I'm just going to have someone, you know, shuffle them for me. I'm just going to grab one, two, three. That'll be my order.
Yeah.
If it's CeeDee Lamb first, it'll be CeeDee Lamb. If it's Jefferson first, it'll be him. If it's Tyreek Hill first, it'll be him. I mean, you can't go wrong. These guys are unbelievable.
Yeah, I think the lesson here is if you're picking fifth in your draft next year, you're getting one of those three receivers or CMC or Breece Hall, and you're going to be happy with that. And there's nothing wrong with that. And that's something you could just not mess up, execute, and have a great season. Yep. It's a good way to start your draft.
Let's take a look at the wide receiver scoring leaders from this season, by the way, just to put a little more context and numbers behind just how ridiculous this was. CeeDee Lamb, number one, as you mentioned, 27 points ahead of Tyreek Hill, who was 46 points ahead of Amon-Ra St. Brown. So how about that? CeeDee Lamb played the same number of games as Amon-Ra, 72.3 point difference between those two. Puka Nacua, fourth. A.J. Brown, fifth. Kind of a slow finish for A.J. Brown. DJ Moore, sixth. He was terrific for Chicago, and it was not just that one monster Thursday night game. Mm-hmm. Mike Evans, the ageless wonder. Keenan Allen, how great was that guy before he got hurt? Stephon Diggs really, really struggled down the stretch. And then Devontae Adams at wide receiver 10, Mike.
How about that 7 to 10 range?
I mean, ridiculous. I mean, guys that have just been doing it for so darn long.
Was that 29, 31, 28, 31, something like that, those four this past season?
You and I were talking about this before the show. Like, I get it. It was uneven. He did not pay off the return of being like a top 8 or 10 first round pick. But Devontae Adams, to think that like, he had a down year. Did I say this on the show or was it before?
No, it was before.
Okay, good. That would have been weird. To have a quote unquote down year and have like 103 catches for 1,200 yards and 8 or 9 touchdowns tells you a lot about how good Devontae Adams is, huh?
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think he'll get another run maybe away from Las Vegas. Who knows where he'll go next year, but he'll get another shot.
I don't know. I'm not so convinced on that.
Yeah, you know, you think he stays?
I think Antonio Pierce, if he gets to keep the job.
That's fair.
And
need a quarterback.
I also think that if you're a new head coach that's acquired, it's being so. I think it's Antonio Pierce in Las Vegas, unless it's like a massive fish, the Jim Harbaugh type. Mm-hmm. And if you're Jim Harbaugh, I think you're coming into that situation and saying, I want to win. And Devontae Adams makes us better than he does make us worse, right? Mm-hmm. Like, this is because of the timing of it. We, on championship weekend, week 17, it was, of course, leading into New Year's. Mm-hmm. So we were off on Monday and I think Tuesday of that week. So we did not dive as much into the week 17 recap. Devontae had 21 targets in that win against the Colts. Win or loss? Loss. 21 targets.
Yeah.
It was like 11 catches for 171 yards. Maybe it was 13 catches for 171 and two touchdowns.
Their post McDaniels plan and with Aiden O'Connell under center was just throw him the ball as much as you possibly can.
Literally,
and they did that, and he had some big games down the stretch.
He sure did. That guy is like the rest of the players that we talked about on that list, a freaking star. There is no position with more talent in fantasy football or real football than wide receiver. And by the way, the draft class, loaded. Mm-hmm. Marvin Harrison Jr., Rome Odunze, Malik Nabers, Keon Coleman, just a handful of the names that you need to know for the 2024 NFL Draft. That was fun.
Yeah.
So is that it? Soon. That's
are we
it.
Done? Yeah.
We've made it through the entire list here, Mike. Do you have anything
else?
All you
season.
Do you have any defense or kicker thoughts?
No, not right now. Okay. I have work to do on that. Pulling out the free agents from those lists. So we'll have that list up and we'll figure out where all your, check out Twitter at Mike Clay NFL. See where you take a look at the top free agents at each position and connect some dots. Let's find homes for them.
Focus. Monday is going to be our weekly schedule. We'll be over here on Monday. Check our Twitter for links to the YouTube show. But if you don't use social media and instead just watch the show after the fact on YouTube, it'll be there. YouTube.com/ESPN NFL. And of course, find us wherever you get your podcasts.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Easy way to manage our content, because if you're on Apple or Spotify or Google or Amazon or any of the services that deliver you your podcast, just wait for it to pop up. We can't wait to give you guys off-season content throughout the next, how many months are in the off-season? 8 months?
Yeah.
Certainly some months busier than others. We cannot wait for it all. He's Mike on Field. We'll talk to you guys again next week.
He's a NASCAR guy with a basement shrine, a Langford fan for life. Chargers are off to a terrible start, but that won't change his mind. Matching up all the cornerbacks, touchdown regression and weekly stats. But if your team falls flat,